This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Cab companies in Bethel have decided to stop accepting Medicaid vouchers for payment. Taxis are a main form of transportation to and from medical appointments for people who travel to Bethel for health care. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation got a call last week from Cusco cab owner Naeem Shabani, who says the Medicaid vouchers were too expensive. Shabani says Medicaid's growing list of regulations was the main reason they decided to stop accepting those vouchers.
There's a roughly 100-page handbook on being a Medicaid transportation provider. There's a lot of regulations. So it wasn't a specific regulation, but, you know, just over the years, they have to implement more and more. Again, it's not their fault. It's just the way the system is set up.
Shabani says they were losing money on the cab vouchers because of the amount of work it took to make sure the company followed regulations. Cusco Cabs is one of three cab companies in Bethel. Shabani says the other cab companies are following Cusco's lead. A call to one cab company, Alaska Cabs, was not returned by broadcast time. YKHC is now offering shuttle services to Medicaid patients instead of vouchers that would cover the cost of a cab in addition to their airport shuttle. Mitchell Forbes is the director of communications at YKHC. He says that Medicaid patients will still see their full benefits.
And so none of those benefits changed. Just in Bethel's case, there is the one vendor who is accepting the transportation vouchers, the cab vouchers. They're no longer able to accept that voucher, or they're not accepting that voucher.
Forbes says YKHC has added shuttle service to hotels where Medicaid patients stay, in addition to adding more hours to its airport shuttle service for all YKHC patients, and that will be the solution for the future. And last month, one village in the YK Delta removed all of its stray dogs with the help of two nonprofits, including Bethel Friends of Canines. It took a lot of planning to ensure the ambitious effort was a success. Alice Fitka teaches Yukton at the Tuntutuliak School.
I'm a teacher and I'm with my students right now.
But she took a break to talk about how the village decided that all of its stray dogs needed to go. Fitka is a traditional council member. She helped come up with the idea after the principal of the school expressed concerns.
The people, the community out there, they complain about dogs being, about loose dogs.
Fitka says the principal was worried about how the stray dogs would react to her dog if she was out walking it. And stray dogs can be a public health hazard, such as carrying rabies or biting people. She says the tribal police officers didn't want to shoot the dogs. Andrew Frank is one of the TPOs.
A lot of people kept calling us to kill dogs, but I've been telling a lot of people that we only kill sick dogs or injured dogs that can't be helped anymore.
Historically, shooting dogs has been one way villages controlled the population of strays, but that has become controversial, and communities are looking for other ways to manage the dog population. So the traditional council unanimously passed a resolution that would give the council permission to ask the nonprofit Bethel Friends of Canines for help. The nonprofit helps put stray dogs in Bethel and nearby communities up for adoption and holds spay-neuter clinics, among other services. But Tuntutuliak wanted something the nonprofit has never done before, to remove all the stray dogs. Lily Redder is a board member at Bethel Friends of Canines. She was one of five volunteers who went to Tuntutuliak to help the community remove the dogs.
When we got there, it was just go, go, go. And I just started vaccinating dogs because they had already collected seven that were in cages in the garage space that we called headquarters.
But to get there, the nonprofit had to get a lot of help. Another nonprofit, Alaskan Animal Rescue Friends, helped raise money and offered support. The airlines, Northern Air Cargo, Grant, and Raven, made space to drop off kennels in preparation and then take the dogs out of Tuntutuliak. They shipped out 28 dogs to Anchorage or Bethel for adoption. But that's not all.
Then we did a lot of door-to-door vaccines, and so we were able to vaccinate a lot of dogs that were owned by people in Tunt, which was awesome because we got to meet some of the people and make sure that their dogs were safe for this upcoming year.
With help from Tuntutuliak's TPOs, the volunteers vaccinated about 50 dogs. The effort lasted 4 days. So far, Fitka and Frank have nothing but good things to say.
Had it was a lot better than it was before now. Less loose dogs roaming around the village.
Bethel Friends of Canines says they wait for communities to invite them in. Redder says that helps with resources, like finding a place to stay, and ensures that they only remove dogs that are strays instead of accidentally grabbing someone's pet. It also helps with community goodwill. Other communities who want to remove stray dogs can reach out to the nonprofit by Facebook or their website. Reporting from Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger. And finally, the final feasibility study detailing cleanup options for the contaminated Red Devil Mercury mine site is out. The Bureau of Land Management plans to hold public meetings in the villages near the mine site to collect comments about the remediation plans. BLM will open public comments on the plan for 60 days, beginning March 1st and ending April 30th, according to BLM spokesperson James Hart. People can mail, fax, or email their comments. For communities who want a public meeting, contact Maureen Clark at 907-267-1420 or email. The Red Devil Mercury Mine permanently closed in 1971 after the price of ore fell and the owners walked away, leaving it up to the state and federal governments to clean it up. It's taken 40 years of testing and some remediation before BLM, which heads the cleanup efforts, rolled out this final plan. The mine used to be the biggest mercury mine operating in Alaska and built the community of Red Devil in the middle Kuskokwim River area. At the mine's peak, 200 people lived in the village, but once it closed and jobs disappeared, people left. Only about 20 residents remain year-round. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukden News coming up.